whether you're the agency running ads for plumbing companies or you're the plumbing company running ads for yourself right now, like how often are you making sure to follow up with your target audience there? Like,
Yeah.
what are you doing there to make sure that you're staying top of mind? It's about staying top of, it's about staying top of mind in a way that doesn't offend, that you don't get the chance, that you can continue to get the chance to stay top of mind.
Welcome everyone to another session in our podcast. We call it the High Level Spotlight Session. Today, I have a good friend of mine. I've met him over the last couple of events now, seen his face a couple of different times, as well as some of his team members. And Justin, you know, welcome into the show, man. I don't want to, you know, shortcut the introduction, but this guy built a great brand called Invisible PPC, really, really valid in the e-commerce space as well, has done a lot with paid ads and things like that, essentially almost even a white label full house for a lot of other agencies as well. And today, what I want to do is talk about agency client acquisition formula for less than $90 an appointment. And that's going to be fantastic. And before we go there, Justin, tell us who you are. What's your story? How do we get here in 2023, man?
Gosh, one, I can't believe it's 2023, and the end of 2023 for that matter. But yeah, no, I've been doing this whole digital marketing thing, like what, getting close to 15 years now doing this. Got my start in like software, transitioning from it was, you know, we'd still send out like CDs and stuff for people for your software back then. And we were transitioning to a SaaS model as an email template builder. And then got into like the email marketing and CRO game without really knowing it while I was trying to grow that business. Ended up running a show for a bit called Wichita One, which was in the CRO space. We were running all these, there's a publication for split testing and conversion rate optimization evangelism. Launched an event with that, ended up meeting, previous boss and mentor, Ryan Dice. Worked for him for about 7 years, doing everything from, building courses for them, doing all their conversion optimization, running their digital marketing department, running the company for a couple of years. And then really just played around in the software game for a while too, where I've launched and exited a couple of small things, nothing huge, but enough to be like, hey, I can say I did it. And then finally, found my way into the white label space with Invisible PPC. So I'm partnering up with my now business partner, Abhi Kumar. And we were like, we saw an opportunity on the table with when IPPC went for sale. And we just said, hey, we want that. It's great. We've known the brand forever. They had a great book of business, a great just like SOP, and just like everything kind of fell together for it. And kind of been doing that ever since. So yeah, that's kind of the long and short of it. Been in the game a while, been doing this thing, and I'm super excited to share. Actually, part of our main lead gen engine. So if you're a competitor, awesome. Like, you have it now too. So sweet. Well, we can exchange notes. Maybe you can hit some of those metrics a little better than we can, or maybe we might have it down pretty good. But even if you're, so this is lots of love for everybody out there who's, you know, been having a difficult time targeting their main market. So yeah, can't wait to share.
Absolutely, Justin. Well, I know Invisible PPC and the guys that were there before, and also you guys, like, I've met all parties in the grand scheme of things, and I'm excited for that brand to really take off to a new level. And it's already a very established, reputable brand in the world of marketing, and congrats on that. So let's get to today's topic. This is actually a reschedule. I think we rescheduled this like three times now. The last time I was like, Justin, there's so much to talk about. Let's just iron down a certain point for really good content absorption. Plus, we want to be fruitful and efficient in how we're sharing things with all of you that are watching. So, we discussed a couple of things, but we want to talk about agency client acquisition that could be possible for less than 90 days an appointment. I mean, $90 an appointment, which sounds kind of crazy. Like, I mean, give us how is that even possible? Like, and if so, you know, is it a certain, you know, what are we missing if that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's super possible. And it's something that we've been doing for Invisible for the last, like, this has been predictable for us for the last year and a half since we launched this like funnel side. So it's been something that continues to work, that we've been trying to expand even more so. And then even have been testing out a lot of these strategies with some of our partners, as well as like that are in the, you know, traditional agency space where they're going out for particular clients. But it all follows like it's going to sound, some people this is going to sound like a review, because if this is older stuff, like this is the basics, and if you get this right, that is how you're able to do this. Granted, like, yeah, go find cheap leads on TikTok, go do these other things, go nuts. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing here, because I will continue to beat people who are trying to do this, who are unwilling to just kind of stick to some of the basics on it.
So let's unpack the pillars. I'm going to first assume there's got to be some kind of an entryway that you figured out, or you've seen patterns around other agencies running it. If so, can you identify some entry points? Maybe it's with content, education, lead magnets, you know, like, you know, reversals. Like, what are you seeing that you can identify as great entry points for something like this?
Yeah, so this and the strategy I'll be talking about particularly is going to come, it comes from two main channels. The first is going to be from, it's a lead magnet strategy. So it will be coming from lead magnets from paid. But what I also do with these, and there's other cool ways you can do this as well, is I utilize, you know, like pillar pieces of content on the site. I use that as like, I make sure to have internal like inline CTAs as well as on-site retargeting. So pop-ups where you can strategically kind of like put that main offer in front of them. And you have two offer options with that. It could be this main lead magnet you're going after, but it takes a while to hone in on what's the thing that's going to work for you. And that's, we can talk a little bit about that, I think, the first pillar. But I think the big thing is too, is like, if you don't have like a brand new lead magnet, but you have like an SEO piece that's killing it, a really quick trick you can do to start generating leads, this won't get you like appointment for $90, but if you just want to build a list, like do a hybrid gate. It's a tactic I use a lot where it's like, hey, do you want this guide on the go? And literally do the principal version and send to them. You don't have to make it all that pretty. But you will be able to maintain all of your SEO authority, and you'll be able to start generating leads from those types of things. If you have no lead magnets, no anything, but you're trying to build a list, do that. Call the hybrid gate. It works like crazy. So yeah.
Got it. So what you're saying is, whether you run paid ads, organic marketing, however you get your customers, you're making the case that it's good to have a lead magnet of some kind as way entry point. Can you describe some of these lead magnets? Is it education based? Is it a PDF? Is it videos? Is it VSLs? Like,
what you can do literally anything. Like, and I know that doesn't help, but I'll explain in a second. Like, I'll give some examples of a few things. We stick mainly to PDFs or quick video trainings. Those are going to be the two where it's like, hey, unlock this 15-minute on demand, whatever. Check it out. Our best stuff is going to be like swipe files or unique data. Like the thing that works for IPPC, we're a white label PPC company that's been running ads for agencies for 11 plus years, right? We have a crazy amount of data. So we published this thing called the Smart Niche Sheet. It is 64.
I actually have downloaded that PDF years ago. It basically had like the most profitable industries. Uh-huh. Another company, they did something similar called Advertisement. I think they did something similar as well. It's like a huge PDF of like the most profitable industries and their best offers or something crazy like
that. And we throw in one other thing that they can't, which is performance benchmarks. So cost per lead, like variances, like floor budgets, recommended budgets, like what to run into in an office. Like, hey, if you're a lawyer, like, and they don't know you're running Google ads and it's coming in, they need to treat them a little differently, right? So we all know that was unbelievably useful information for our clients. And like that part was part of like our secret sauce at first for like what made us good at ads. But I'm like, well, wait a second, we're just really great at ads. So we don't need to guard this as much. And this is such a critical piece to help someone raise their hand and be like, anybody who's downloading that is an agency that is trying to figure this stuff out, right? Like, so by selecting that piece of content, you're selecting content that only your main ICP wants, that only your ideal customer profile wants, right? And that's why getting the lead magnet part right at that entry point is so critical. Like, that one's far and away our best one for really cold, kind of like cold ad strategies. Like, we have all sorts of other types of lead magnets, like landing page checklists, like backward business plan, these other things, but those don't necessarily need someone that's an agency, right? You don't have to be like in the agency world, like, how's my landing page doing? You could get end clients and that could end up not being the right target, right? So you want to get really honed in and get really, really ridiculously good at what is that piece of content. Don't worry about the medium yet. But what is that information that will get your ideal customer raising their hand immediately and help them self-identify for you, right? So you can utilize broad targeting strategies to get in front of people and let them raise their hand by the content itself, right? Especially with how hard it is. Like for us, it's so hard to target agencies. Do you know what's harder to do? Target agencies who serve specifically local businesses. There is no option for that. But if we're calling out, these are the local businesses and the estimate for them, and we're saying, hey, agencies, these are like, this is local business information. By them getting that and downloading that, more often than not, they're going to be agencies serving local business.
I think that's interesting that it's difficult to identify agencies in the world of marketing, right? One, yeah. They're very good at hiding, and plus they don't put out a lot of content for themselves, right? So yeah. Two of those combinations kind of put them in like a hidden gem world, God, yeah. in some sense. So those of you that are watching, and maybe you're not a B2B company like Justin or myself in a sense, but like, and you're going after B2C, these strategies still apply to you because you can create the best content around those industries. Like back when I had my dental agency, I did something similar where I put together a launch PDF for dentists who wanted to launch their own Invisalign campaigns. And yep. It just simply positioned me as an authority, even though I didn't really get direct sales from them. Eventually, a couple of years later, those people became my clients long term anyway.
Do you know it's a really easy like extension after? Hey, I just sent you this thing to do your own Invisalign campaigns. How are they going? I bet most of them are gonna be like, I didn't do it. And then you know what you get to say? Do you want some help?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We do the same thing. Like we have it for like we have a plumbing agency, and one of the things we're pushing out right now is we have a competitive intelligence report. Hey, do you want to see the competition for plumbers in Austin, Texas?
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Here you go.
Yeah.
Like, did any, and then the first follow up is, did anything stand out to you? Here's what stood out to me.
Those of you that are like wizards, you're like a lot more techie and smart than I am. You can do AI generated stuff. You can do so many things that creates a lot of value points. So Justin, let's get back to identifying entry point contents, and we've shared some examples. So how let's go back to $90 an appointment. Like how do we get to that world of like going from content to transitioning them into like a meeting or a phone call? Like what do you guys want to see? Help us kind of understand that part.
Yeah. So there's two things. So anybody that signs up for a lead magnet of mine, I think they go through a 6 email. It's like I have it open right now. So it's a 6 email follow-up series. So nothing too crazy. And it's really basic. It's very linear. Like I'm not going to be trying to connect the dots or do anything there. It's, hey, I know you got a piece of content of mine. Now I want to get you to certain endpoints. One of the things I knew, especially when it's top of funnel, like lead magnet, they might not be ready for a meeting yet. You might be asking for marriage on a first date. So what we identified was, and this goes into like now more like training up the customer a little bit, we created a free 33-minute course, right? So it's just a free thing telling you how to pitch and sell PPC a client, right? Now, that is so unbelievably self-serving for us because if we can train them and be the authority that helps them win clients, guess what they're going to do? Send those clients to us. The number one reason we don't get some business is they don't have a client ready for us just yet, right? So let's bridge that gap. So for us, and this is the stuff you need to be thinking about as a listener on this, what is a transitional piece of content after they got that first piece with you? Because you do not want to be asking for marriage on a first date yet, right? And then you go into, okay, then what's the follow-up sequence after the fact? So there's two follow-up sequences that I'll be talking through with this one. So there's the lead magnet upsell master. That to me is just, hey, you got this thing. What did you think? So it starts more as like a, hey, you know, how are you feeling about that? Tell me your thoughts. And then I go into a transition into now it's a soft sell. Because one of the things I do on the thank you page of every lead magnet I have is I make sure that I introduce the logical next step there for them. Hey, you should check this other stuff out. I have a rule with thank you pages that there should never be a stop sign. And the reason for this is, and the reason for this is in that email, I'm now not introducing something new. I'm reminding them about something they've seen. Right. So there's a big shift in terms of like how people are perceiving this message. It's not maybe me just going and then I'm opening a loop and planting that seed the second they even sign up for something. So the first couple of emails that are coming from me are actually not going to pitch a meeting at all. And open rates I'm talking about on these types of things are 45 to 52% for the first couple of emails. And all they're doing is asking them a question saying, by the way, if you like this thing, you should probably take this course. It's 100% free. It's going to tell you how to pitch this thing. And if you're trying to find a niche, my guess is you're trying to figure out how to price it yet, price it next, right? And then we go into like what you can price at and all this other fun stuff. I know that if somebody signs up for that course, 9% of them are going to book a meeting with me if they sign up for that course. And so I'm expediting them to get in with that transition content to get in, right? So say I'm averaging around $6 a Facebook lead for my lead magnet. First two steps is just getting them into that course. And then it goes into, all right, hey, you don't want to take a course. Maybe you just want to actually chat with somebody. So then I start bringing up, hey, here's now my main offer. I want to book a meeting with you. I know that, what is it? How's it come up? So I want to make sure I have the math right because someone will call me out on this. I want to make sure I got it. I know I had my Excel sheet open somewhere. Where are you? I'm losing the flow completely. I'll find it in a second. I'll get back into the flow and then I'll come into the actual numbers there. One of the other big, where was it? Yeah. So if in that sequence, it's two that are through this course, another two that are, hey, let's book a meeting. And then I just go into, and that's kind of more of like a Hail Mary. And then I added this last one recently, which is a downsell for our software product that we launched, where it's like, hey, maybe you don't need a white label. Maybe you just wanted to know what these things were to sell better. And maybe you don't need to be trained because heck, you already got everything down. But we actually created this piece of software that will show you the competitive, like all the competitive ads for that client in their region for you. Do you want to take a trial? And then we just do a downsell on that one. Real simple. Wow. But I know like, yeah, so where's, there they are. There you go. 1 second. Yeah. So if somebody takes me up on the lead magnet. So the lead magnet to meeting from those other two emails in there, 7% of the people will book a meeting with me from that flow. So if I'm spending $6 a lead at 7% taking that, that's $85 a meeting, right? And that, but I didn't lead with those options to book time with me. I wanted to be helpful for them. And then anybody that takes like the course exits that and then goes into the course flow, right? So that's the only advanced move I do. It's a really, really simple thing. Like unbelievably simple.
And Justin, what is your entry cycle time? Like how long from the first interaction to appointment? Like what does that timeline look like? Is that a 2-week period? Is it a 1-week period? Is it a 30-day period? Like what does that take?
That one's probably running over around, it's probably like the entire sequence is probably around like 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
Nothing crazy. And yeah. I think the average, hold on, I'll pull up my average goal right now. Where, too many tabs, the worst. I think everybody else on this call also suffers from too many tabs on this. Let's see.
And those of you that are watching, what we're sharing is really B2B numbers. And numbers will be varied depending on your business model, your offer strength, the type of market you go after, the type of platform you use, the type of budget you have versus the type of tone and messaging skills you have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different moving pieces here. So Justin's numbers are not going to be your numbers or my numbers. But what we want to do is help you understand the pillars of what's possible in creating a world of inbound leads, right? Yeah. So transitioning to a meeting. So maybe phone calls are not the first thing you want to do if you're not that good at phone calls yet. Maybe it makes sense to push them to a VSL or another webinar or self-book an appointment or maybe self-purchase as well. Like maybe have them go through a $10 product before you can enter to a bigger thing, right? Justin, can you give us an idea of more concepts of transitioning into a meeting essentially?
Yeah. You're spot on there. Like if what you're going for is like, because likely if you're going to go in B2C, you might have to prove yourself a little bit more too if you're trying to book meetings. It might not be enough there. But I think it comes back down to like, what is the transitionary content and then how much do you need to be doing, right? In my case, I was like, I need one. And I think that should be enough for me to at least show that we're more than that, that we have a reputation to uphold. Like it kind of gives a case of like what we're all about and gets them into our sequences. Like there's other like untangibles too, that like there's the unmeasurable stuff there, like some things that definitely helps out. Like if we're running these over a couple of weeks, we still make sure everybody that's new on our list gets our newsletter. We have a newsletter running every week. That one is super hard to attribute anything to, but I bet I could probably do some sort of model based off of that. And I'm positive that helps, right? So that's creating more like value driven content so that you can then make that ask later on, right? So you have to make sure that whatever you give them on the front end is so incredibly valuable to them that they're like that you've now reached a new like authority level. You're not just a stranger on the internet, right? Yeah. Then it's just a matter of like, okay, how do you, like, what is that tipping point for them? How far along do you need to get them? And you get to understand how far along do you need to get them before they're willing to say like, you know what? They are now worth my time.
Yeah.
And there's going to be niches that people are way more like skeptical, right? Yeah. They're not going to want to give up their time. Their time is quite literally their money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I
think one of the things that everyone should really pay attention to is there's obviously a sales cycle that's in play, and nobody wants to be sold, but they know what they need in a sense. And it's your job to kind of guide them through understanding the needs and wants and kind of bring the bridge there, right? And I've trained a lot of salespeople in the past. I always ask my newbie salespeople, I'll ask them, if the client or a prospect jumped on a call with you before any introductions happened, before any conversations happened, could you tell me whether they know about your story, right? If they don't know about your story as a business, you more than likely will have a hard time selling the offer, even if they want the offer. Because there's a sales cycle, and for you to get your story out, content is the secret. Getting as much things out there is going to make the sale a lot more or less resistant.
And automation just expedites your ability to build up that relationship with content. That's really why you need to be taking that seriously. And it's crazy. It was at the event where I was talking with John Logar, was doing his presentation there.
Yeah.
And he had brought up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he brought up just like, you think, man, like there's still so many companies that miss out on like this type of stuff. So I know we're talking about it from like B2B. So like agencies, this is how you get this. This is how you attack this. This is what you do, right? Which means being crystal clear on your ICP, knowing what they care about and why they are the only ones who would care about it. And then holding their hand through it with transitionary content and automation. But if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I'm not an agency, but what you're saying kind of makes sense, you can still be doing this for your business, right? These are all things that need to be happening in there. And you don't need to be you don't have to be marketing nerdy at all. Like it's a very, like following up is the most critical piece of any salesperson's toolkit, any marketer's toolkit, right? And if you're spending time generating leads, whether you're the agency running ads for plumbing companies or you're the plumbing company running ads for yourself right now, like how often are you making sure to follow up with your target audience there? Yeah. Like, what are you doing there to make sure that you're staying top of mind? Because great marketing isn't surgical.
Yeah.
It's not. It's about staying top of mind in a way that doesn't offend, that you don't get the chance, that you can continue to get the chance to stay top of mind. Like that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, this is really interesting because like we're just so you all know, in case if you just tuned in a little later, like we're talking about client acquisition and how to get that for less than $90 an appointment. The first pillar we talked about was identifying entry point content ideas. The second was transitioning all those leads into like real scenario meetings or some kind of an interactive touch point, whether it's through chat, email, something. The third thing, Justin, can you elaborate a little bit more on the automation thing you talked about, like touch points at scale for nurturing? Like, what does that look like? And I think that'll be the third pillar we should talk about.
Yeah, yeah. And with this one, I think I kind of started leaning into it a little bit more. It's so now that we've said, hey, this is the thing that you need to enter with, super simple, super useful. Now you need to have the right amount of content as a transitionary period in order to make yourself an authority, make your story known, and then make the sales cycle makes the sales conversation that much easier. Those two things are going to inform how often you're reaching out, right? You want to create a heartbeat pulse, and that would be a newsletter. Everybody should be doing it. every single person should have some level of a heartbeat, that you are staying top of the inbox. I don't actually keep people out of the newsletter, even if they're in an automation with me, because I want them to get value for content. So it went up while they're getting emails that have an ask in it, that they're like, oh, hey, that was that guy that sent me that really useful thing, right? And then for me, I think you have to give it a break. You can let people come back in again for other things, but eventually, like, I like to give, for me, like, if they're not booking a meeting with you within 2 weeks, I don't need to be pushing hard, just asking. So you have your automation. I create between 6 and 8 touch points during that 2 week period. There's that drumbeat, that heartbeat that comes from the newsletter. And then I do monthly promotion. I'm running a promotion probably once a week, depending on what we're doing. If it's going to be a, hey, here's a webinar promo. So now people are in that bucket. People who are excluded from that bucket are the people in an automation, right? I don't want to be sending them promo emails with an ask while I'm asking them to do this other stuff. But if you're in the newsletter and you're on the promo list and those types of things, you are going to be getting updates for, hey, we have this cool thing you should check out. Hey, did you check out our YouTube channel? We're just constantly putting that stuff out there because we identified as a business that we're not a training company, we're a fulfillment company. But we have a lot of things that we can share, and we don't want to sell it, we just want to give it away to empower people. That's really kind of the move there. So you need to have a promotional cadence. So to summarize, promotional cadence in place for anybody that's coming onto your list. You need to have, anything that people sign up for, whether it's a lead magnet, newsletter, whatever, you need to have some sort of follow-up nurturing sequence that can vary in size based off of what the end goal you're going after is. And then finally, have that heartbeat, have that drumbeat that's coming from a regular newsletter. And I think you have all those things. You will significantly shorten your sales cycle. People will know what you're all about, and they're going to want to do business with you faster.
Yeah. And I can speak and testify to this because here at High Level, we tend to do a lot of email in general to our customer base, but our customer base loves those emails, right?
Yep.
But we still have to be careful. So like, same thing that you said, Justin, like we categorize it as promotional. So like when Black Friday stuff comes out or whenever I do a workshop, sometimes I'll like to throw out like a 30-day trial or things like that. We'll have those promotional sequences. Then we have what we call the round robins, right? So the round robins are your newsletter style, educational. Here's what's happening. Here's what's happening in the market. Here's some good, you know, case studies or some highlight points of some of our team members or whatever. And then the other thing is market-oriented or product-oriented cadences. So for example, when a feature comes out, we'll shoot out educational concepts about that feature. So if you're an agency out there catering to small business owners, you should put out, hey, here's how you do TikTok ads for the plumbing customers, right? You being the first person educating a net new thing that's happening in the market is the other aspects of it. So promotional, educational, and then the round robins. Those are the three types of categories of emails, cadences that we do internally. And it's very aligned with what you're recommending as far as touch points. And Justin, do you guys do like different types of touch points, emails, SMS, voicemails? Do you do phone calls? Like what are those mediums of touch points that you like?
Yeah, unless they're in a deal pipeline, we're not going to be doing any sort of phone calls. But for all of our webinars, we utilize SMS more because, I mean, that's a surefire way to get people to show up. If you don't have it, you'll like add it. If you want to add like 10% to your show up rate, just add SMS. Just do it. You will get way more people to show up. And we do that. And we do that for automation follow through group book a meeting. Those are the few that we'll utilize that for. But we're pretty simple in those things. Like most of the time, it's just going to be email for us. And then SMS for things when there's something very time centric.
Awesome. So before we close out this podcast, Justin, I ask everybody, this is a new question I'm asking everybody. First person. So here's the thing. I feel like in the world of agency owners, consultants, marketing professionals, sales professionals, like High Level is a bit misunderstood, right? It really is. What do you feel like is misunderstood about High Level, and how can you bring some clarity of what other, you know, that perception of what High Level really is?
Oh, that's a really good question. There's a lot to unpack with that one, but I think when I talk to people who aren't familiar with high level, I think that's kind of the lens I'll go through with, because they'll be like, oh, or they'll heard of it maybe. But I mean, that's hard to do at this point now. You guys are getting huge. But normally I think people are like, oh, so it's that thing that does all, like that every marketing thing ever under them. And they have a hard time understanding, or being like, and I think the big one is like, is it a jack of all trades scenario? Like, if it can do all these things, should I, like, is it something worth putting in here? Like me going, investing my time, money, and those types of things, if I need something very specific, right? And I think whenever I talk with people about that, it's funny because I'm also like, I avoid like jack of all trade things, like the plague.
The all in one is usually not good.
All in one is normally all in none, right? And it's just one of those snares. And then, but the way that you guys have done things, it starts with a very like, you have to start with a small idea, that a small profitable idea, and you can expand that as needed. So I think it's one of those things where, if people are new to it or like consider or on the fence or anything, like it can do what you need it to do. Keep it focused, just like you need to keep yourself focused, and then expand as needed, right? And yeah. So it should be more of an iterative approach for your agency, for your business, if you're in this service space, especially if you're starting to go like the you know, SaaSpreneur route of things, or like going like glass or whatever you're doing. I mean, there's all sorts of fun things we can say, but just like everything else, like it comes down to like how you drive focus and what you're trying to get out of it, right? It's the engine can run anything at this point, but you want it to run a very specific something. Right?
Yeah, that's fantastic, actually, because I hear the analogies of like, this is how I explain high level quite often to people. It's like, we're like a Legoland, and you can take like 5 or 6 pieces of Legos, which in other words are features, and have different sizes and shapes and colors and create your own solution. But the thing is, there's like 500 plus Lego pieces, right? There's close to 500 or 600 of features today inside high level. So we went from the old, oh, it's a funnel builder that replaces XYZ versus, you know, last year people were like, oh, it's the CRM. And this year we're starting to see people call it like an operating system for a marketing agency, right? Ooh. Or and that's kind of the, you know, the maturity of it that's kind of happening in the market. But I'm excited to always hear people's answers on that. So thank you, Justin. Justin, here's what I want you to do. Tell us about Invisible PPC, man. Like I personally know about it. I know it's a strong reputation out there. As we kind of close out, tell us where we can find you. How can people check out some of the things you have? Give us a plug, man. Give us a plug.
Yeah. All right. I'll do the old plug. I'm the worst salesman in the world, too. So I'll prime it with that. I got into marketing because it was one to many. But anyways, Invisible PPC, we're a white label fulfillment partner. We run Google ads, Facebook ads for marketing agencies. We don't run the ads for the agencies themselves. We run the ads for their clients, right? So we have a lot of experience in the local service space. Like you said, that 64 smart niche sheet that we have, you should check that out on the site. It's where if you land on invisiblepppc.com, there is a pop-up that will hit you that says get this thing, because it is so dang useful. I'd recommend getting that. So checking out that at invisiblepppc.com. If you're interested in getting that data, or if you've been on the fence, like, hey, I don't want to run ads anymore, right? Or I'd like to start offering ads to clients, but I don't know how to do it. If you're in one of those two camps, go check us out. And I'm super active on LinkedIn too. Like if you add me on there, shoot me a message, let's hang out, let's talk. You had this great joke before COVID, which was, you know, I work remotely. I worked remote for like my entire career almost, except for like maybe a stint at Digital Marketer. When I said, hey, you know, it gets lonely working from home. But now I think everybody understands that. So reach out to me. Would love to hear more about your agency. And if you want to nerd out about the stuff we've talked about here, about PPC, about agency life in general, about tech, whatever, it'd be great to hang out. But yeah, invisiblepppc.com for all your white label needs. And then LinkedIn / I think it's LN or whatever, JT Rondo. You can find me. I'm wearing a flamingo shirt. Not hard. Hard of this. No.
All right, Justin, we appreciate you jumping in. Those of you that might not even have a high level account and you're watching this on our YouTube channel, jump in for a 14-day trial. We don't bite. We're just normal people that do cool things, and we want to be cool like you. So anyways, have a good rest of your day, afternoon. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.